Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Bros and Consoles podcast, episode 25 of the mini-series Solo Gaming Updates. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, as always, coming to you with some games I've been playing, some new things that are becoming out in the next week, and also a little bit of news concerning the PS5 and some kind of thoughts on those things there. Normally, these aren't super heavy in like terms of news things, but I did mention that, you know, on the lead up to the new consoles coming out, I will be talking a little bit more about those kinds of things as we get news from it. This most recent one, a little bit more on the disappointing side, I'd say, a little, in terms of the storage itself. And we'll kind of get to that in just a moment here. But it's kind of got me thinking, right, in terms of storage space and how I play games and whatnot. As you guys may or may not know, I have a notoriously bad habit of having way too many games to play and not enough time to do it. Also just kind of bouncing around from game to game and not really always sitting down and seeing one through all the way to the end. Usually I kind of have to really like focus myself and just be like, all right, we're just going to do this. We're going to go like Celeste, for example, we're going to go and finish this game. We got this. We're almost there. Usually it ends up kind of getting like pushed off for a bit and I come back to it. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Only a few more levels. We can do this. Or like most recently with Sniper Elite 3, which is by all means a pretty old game, and just kind of finally like, you know what, it's been long enough. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to finish it up and knock it off the backlog list. So it takes some time generally, but along with that, I tend to try and keep as many games as I can on my gaming hardware. The idea behind it is that in case I ever get the urge to go and play a game, I don't have to wait for it to all download and whatnot, which is why I basically on the PS4 have a pretty extensive like hard drive collection kind of thing there going. I basically, when was it? I think back in maybe around like 2014 or 2015 or so. Originally, the PS4 came with a 500 gigabyte hard drive, which at the time was doing okay. It wasn't great or anything, but it was doable. When that started to not be doable anymore, I ended up upgrading it to a 2 terabyte hard drive, which then at the time I was just like, this is perfect. I'm not going to need to worry. But as I was re-downloading everything, which you had to do with the changeover of the hard drives and whatnot, if you don't have a separate console to like transfer things, when I was downloading everything, I quickly realized that I got to the almost near end of the storage space for 2 terabytes and was like shocked when that happened. So I ended up also getting a, was it a, I want to say 3 terabyte separate like external hard drive to hook up to the PS4. And that one definitely helped quite a lot. More in recent times, though, now that we're, what, like close to 7 years out from the launch of the PS4, I have way too many games and not enough space on either of the hard drives anymore to hold them all. So I end up trying to keep as many as I can, but it doesn't always work very well. Now, what does this have to do with the new generation? Recently, we learned that the PS5, it's reported to have leaked that we already knew previously that the hard drive that was going to be available for the solid-state drive was going to be, I believe, 850 gigabytes. Now, that doesn't count in anything that the system is using for its own storage and like updates and whatnot. We kind of want to know what the usable space is there, and we appear to have gotten a picture from a kind of like dev kit PS5 that it seems to be roughly around 667 gigabytes, which is, you know, going back to basically almost the days of, you know, the original PS4 where we were at like 500 there. It's not much of a difference in terms of the total amount that's available, which is, you know, pretty disappointing if I do say so myself. If we had even like pushed up to like a 1 terabyte kind of thing, I think that would have been a more of an improvement at this point, knowing that we'd probably only get around like 800 gigabytes or so of usable space, but still, you know, it's better than a random like 667 kind of thing. So a little disappointing there, but I ended up doing some math because now that I know what the, size is, eventually I needed to figure out kind of what I'm going to have on there because we've started to hear kind of little bits and pieces about games that will be coming out and kind of the size of the downloads for those games, which are unfortunately also shaping up to be pretty sizable, which is, again, disappointing. Looking at the Spider-Man, specifically Miles Morales, the Deluxe Edition, which has the Miles Morales game as well as the Spider-Man Remastered, that one total size-wise looks to be about 105 gigabytes, so already we're closing in on like a sixth of the storage space gone. Then you add in Demon's Souls, which is 66 gigabytes there. After those two, I'm kind of looking more at games that I have on the PS4 that I want to bring over so that I can play on the PS5. I have quite a list here in terms of kind of things that I want to bring over. Maybe not because I'm thinking I'm going to finish those like all right away, because the ones I chose are on the larger side games-wise, but more so chose them because I want to see how these games improve in terms of the loading times and whatnot for the games overall, and as well just kind of regular performance things that might be fixed there as well there. Without further ado, though, let's go ahead and go over this list together. Now, this list is by no means fully complete. I just added in a whole bunch that I wanted to try out, like I mentioned, and also ones that were gigabytes in space, gigabytes in size-wise. If they were games that are just like a few hundred megabytes, then those ones I didn't include in because I didn't want to have to worry about the math conversion from megabytes to gigabytes in terms of the overall storage space. We're kind of just working with raw, rough estimates here anyways, so hopefully this will kind of all pan out. But the first one that I'm going to be adding in there is Watch Dogs Legion. As you guys know, I've been playing that. Don't need to really mention it later on, just because I haven't played a whole lot of the story yet. I am kind of slowly knocking out small areas, collecting some of the tech points so that I can upgrade my team overall of hackers. And I wanted to bring that one over because I do know that the loading times for that have been pretty long in terms of kind of almost coming up in lengthwise, similar to kind of Bloodborne loading times when it first launched. Understandable when you're kind of bringing in this entire huge world, but I do want to see how that experience can be kind of sharpened and stuff on the PS5. Kind of also reminds me a little bit of going and playing games like Assassin's Creed and stuff on the PS3 and then moving over to the PS4 when it came out, and kind of seeing the difference in gameplay ability and stuff there in terms of kind of like the overall graphics at the time. And hopefully in this way it'll kind of become a better running experience overall for Watch Dogs Legion, because already I enjoy it quite a bit, and I'd love to see how it changes going over to the next gen consoles, and I'm sure it'll be even more enjoyable there as well. Besides that, I put Nioh 2 on the list, along with Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Those ones are games in my backlog that I do want to go through. I'm mainly looking for kind of the overall performance enhancements there, in terms of kind of like both those games are very quick and you need a lot of good reaction speeds. So I want to kind of see how base improvements in kind of overall processing power of the next gen consoles can kind of help those experiences there. Obviously playing Nioh 2 and Sekiro as well as like Nioh 1 and stuff on PS4 has never been really an issue. Occasional loading times can be a little bit long, but not egregious, so not too much of an issue there. Another one though that has pretty long loading times when you really sit there and play for a while and kind of consider all the different ways that you have to kind of like go in and out of like towns and places you're exploring and whatnot, are games like Skyrim and Fallout 4. Both of those games I plan on bringing over as well. Then I was kind of thinking about some other games and realized that, you know what, I've played Minecraft on so many different places now, I do really want that one to come over with me as well. I don't know yet if they've talked too much about the PS5 or Xbox Series X versions of Minecraft and how those will kind of be different. But I do know that playing on the PS3 as well as the Vita and whatnot for Minecraft has kind of shown that draw distance is a big change between systems and whatnot. So I'm interested to see if kind of playing on the PS4 is different from playing on the PS5. That one is something that I'm haven't done Minecraft in quite a while. I say done as in it's like a verb or something. I haven't played Minecraft in quite a while, but I'd be interested to go in and make a new town and everything on PS5. Kind of see the I guess, like, crispness of the overall, like, world and stuff. And although it's, you know, still Minecraft graphics and whatnot, it'd be interesting to see if any improvements are kind of made in terms of the next-gen consoles there. Another RPG series that I want to jump back into, that's more on just the side of I want it carried over with me so that I can keep on playing and eventually finish it, is The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel. So I have numbers 1, 2, and 3. Number 4 came out last week, I believe. But I don't have that one just because I haven't even finished the first 3. So figured I'll get that one eventually. But I wanted to start bringing those over so I can kind of keep on playing those. It's probably going to be some time before a whole bunch of games start to come out for the PS5. Similar to most launch cycles of consoles. So I figured I'd be able to bring that over, use that to kind of knock off some backlog in the new system. So I'm still getting to play the new things as well as kind of getting through some of my older backlog as well. Then I also decided to bring over some other things like Battle Chasers Night War. Again, another RPG kind of game that does have some interesting like load times and somewhat, graphical hiccups when it comes to kind of like loading in battles and things occasionally. There have been times where I thought the game had kind of frozen on me, and then I could still kind of hear some of the music in the background, so that's the only kind of cue that I had that let me know that the game was still processing and whatnot and not just totally like about to crash. I'd be interested to see if the PS5 can kind of help that game along, because the game itself, gameplay wise and story wise, even like voice actors and everything, are very excellent for Battle Chasers Night War. So I'm looking forward to trying out that one on the PS5. Also wanted to bring over a few other games that I have in the backlog and haven't gotten to play very often lately. Just kind of list these out more quickly here. I got Echo, which is a cool stealth game. I don't know if you'd consider it more of an indie title. I kind of do, just because I don't think it got a whole lot of coverage, but very good game though, in terms of like psychological story as well as kind of game mechanics. And of course, if you like stealth kind of games, then this is a good one to check out. Then we have Armello, which is more of a board game esque kind of gameplay setting and whatnot. Witcher 3 I put on there because, you know, The Witcher 3, it's pretty amazing already on PS4 and Xbox One. I have a hard time imagining the changes that could be made for the next gen consoles and stuff, kind of giving it that extra boost in performance like I mentioned. But that's another one that does suffer from long load times as well. I also put in Darkest Dungeon, Dark Devotion, Forgone, and RPG Maker MV. All those ones are kind of some more indie titles that I do want to bring over and continue on playing, as well as in RPG Maker creating the game that I'm trying to create. I haven't done it in quite a while now, but I do want to go back there. I'll just have to check to see how the saving and everything transfers over, because if it doesn't transfer over, that might be one that I don't necessarily need on the PS5, unless I'm just starting something from scratch, which at this point, I probably could do. It would take a little bit of time to kind of get in the few maps that I have made there, but I wouldn't be averse to the idea, at least, so we'll see. I also put on the list Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning, The Outer Worlds, Greedfall. That's one more of a indie RPG there. Kind of reminiscent of things like the first Mass Effect and like Dragon Age and stuff, though, which is actually a pretty cool experience. So I do recommend Greedfall if you guys have never heard of it or wanted to check something out that might kind of be off the beaten path as far as kind of RPG games go. Then we also have Moonlighter, I Am Setsuna, Children of the Zodiacs, Crosscode, and Mortal Shell, which are a couple of newer ones. I've been having a lot of fun with those ones. Also want to put in Bloodborne there, because even though they did fix the loading times, I'm sure that it'll be even faster with the new systems, so I'd love to see kind of the comparison there as well. Then we have Salt and Sanctuary, which is a game I'm really fond of, as well as Dead Cells. Fell Seal, Arbiter's Mark is another one. It's a strategy RPG, tactical RPG kind of thing, I guess, but very good game overall. Children of Morta is an interesting one because, one, the gameplay is really good. Game overall is story-wise very fun. The narrator kind of really sells the entire experience and gets you invested in it. But that is a game that does seem to stutter a lot in terms of loading areas, and for whatever reason, it kind of suffers from those like main performance hiccups there. And I'm really hoping that the PS5 architecture can kind of handle this game better, because to find that like the system is already having an issue when it's on the PS4 and whatnot is a little bit surprising. I believe it had similar issues on the Xbox One as well, if memory serves me correct, on Game Pass and whatnot. So if that's the case, I'm not sure if it is just simply a like programming kind of thing, or if it's the consoles themselves that are having a hard time running the game. Hopefully it is the latter and not the former, because if it's the former, that's just kind of disappointing overall, because the game is really good once you get it to work and everything. But hopefully that'll turn out to be okay there on the PS5. The last few ones I put on here, put on Tales of Zestiria. I do want to go back and finish that game, just because I was starting to realize that I think that game may be one of my favorite Tales games in the Tales of series. I do want to see if that kind of holds true to the end of the game. I believe Michael said his favorite is Tales of Graces F, if I remember correctly. And that one I do want to get back to eventually as well, but that one's only on the PS3, so that's kind of it's kind of trapped there in a way, unfortunately. It'd be really cool if they do make kind of remastered versions, or even, more like high-definition versions of these things, or I don't think, remakes, so like either remastered or remakes of these games. But I think the, you know, studio behind the Tales of series is kind of always just looking forward. Of course, they have Tales of Arise that's currently in development at the moment. I believe it's been pushed out so that it will be on next gen now, and hopefully coming out sometime in 2021. But I think they have officially taken out the like release date that or release window that was present previously. So it's kind of more in the dark at the moment, and they're just kind of playing it close to the vest, I guess you could say. The last few that I put on here are a few more indies that I was fond of, and still am fond of. A game called Indivisible, also a game called Jotun, and the last one I put on this list was Heart and Slash. All three of those games, very fun, more action-oriented, with Indivisible having a little bit more of the RPG elements in there. But overall, I was kind of making this full list, trying to keep the number under that 667 amount. The grand total that I came up with, just from kind of rough math on the PS4 versions of all these games, was 635.48 gigabytes. Now, I don't know if that will exactly transfer over like that, so that's why I left roughly around like 31 gigabytes remaining in the system itself. Plus, I know that Bugsnax is going to be playable right away as well. I don't know how what the size is for that game, but don't want to fill it up all the way, because then I'd be sad to have to delete things right away. And that's just one of the things that gets me every time, is having to delete games when I'm not done with them. Just because of the idea of, you know, re-downloading it, as well as just kind of like now that I don't see it anymore, I'm not thinking about trying to go back and play it and stuff. It has to kind of like randomly pop up, which is little less frequent than something that I just kind of like accidentally scroll by and I'm like, oh, you know what, I do kind of want to play this Atelier Rorona DX kind of thing. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good list for the start of the next generation. I'm definitely not going to have like a shortage of things to play, which is I think one of the best things in terms of this current gen transferring over, just because we have the ability to play the PS4 games that we already own. Luckily, like we talked about in a previous episode, the number of titles that aren't compatible with the backwards compatibility project is basically small in number, and shouldn't have to worry about those things. Hopefully we don't start to find out more titles that suddenly are not working as well, but we'll kind of cross that bridge when we come to it. Now, I already mentioned I've played a little bit of Watch Dogs Legion lately. I have also been playing a little bit more of Ghost Runner. Did a video just, I guess, earlier today. I kind of had a few runs where I had to go back and re-edit and stuff like that. So the older videos no longer exist, but I do have one up now of the first boss in Ghost Runner. It's about 6 or 7 levels in, I want to say. I'm not great at kind of remembering exactly where it is in the story, but it's definitely at a place now where kind of all these different parts of the game are kind of really neatly weaving together to kind of form at like a culmination peak at this specific boss, which is really cool. I didn't know that they were going to have kind of like more than one boss in this game, and getting to actually play through this boss level, I didn't know what to expect. I was kind of hesitant at first because it's a first-person platforming game, one hit, one kill kind of thing for yourself and for enemies, and I didn't know how they were going to kind of handle that in terms of a full boss battle. It didn't seem like something that meshed really well. You know, I think of boss battles with like health and stuff in terms of things like Dark Souls and even just like RPGs in general and stuff, and this is not that style of game at all, so I didn't know how that was going to work, one. But two, when it actually played out, it was better than I expected it was going to be. So you guys got to, if you see the video on youtube.com/KANAE17 or just search for Indie Ronin, you'll see that I still died quite a bit throughout that playthrough, but not as many times as I did the first time that I went through it. So you can definitely see that there is a learning curve there, or at least take my word for it that there's a learning curve. Once you've gone through the boss once, you kind of get the, I guess, like flow of everything, so going through it again is not quite as bad afterwards. But the game so far, very fun. I'm very much looking forward to finishing this. I'll probably have to rewrite those gaming goals that I kind of added in a few episodes ago, in terms of, I think there's about 7 different items on that list that I wanted to get through. I have played a little bit more of Under Hero in terms of kind of getting through to that platinum, but it's a slow process. Just because, like, even though I enjoy the game immensely and I think it's one of my favorite indie games this year, I don't really have the urge to kind of like go back through all that, because I've already played through it, I think, about 2 or 3 times at this point. And in such kind of like close proximity, in terms of like it all being within the same year, I'm not one to just like continually play the same game over and over again. I like to finish something and move on to the next thing if I can. And only kind of going through it again and again if it is for like a platinum kind of thing. But at this point, it's like one trophy and then the platinum will pop. And it's not even, I don't even think I have to beat the game. I just have to get all the cassette tapes, which are now available. But yeah, that's kind of, it's what's slowing me down there. So I'm kind of taking it bit by bit. I don't want to, I guess, like sour the experience. I still, playing through it now, I am remembering how much I really enjoyed the game, which is nice. But still, I still want to take my time with it and not kind of rush through everything. But along with Ghost Runner and Watch Dogs Legion and a little bit of Under Hero, those are kind of the main things I've been playing. There are some cool games that are coming out within this next week, though. As you guys are aware, or maybe not aware and are going to be told right now, as we know, the PS5 is coming out in 1 week exactly. Xbox Series X, for you guys that are Xbox fans, is coming out in 5 days, which is crazy. But as you know, I am getting a PS5. I kind of run a more PlayStation-centric show, I guess I realized over time. I do have like all the consoles and try to play on everything, but I do realize that I tend to be more like heavily PlayStation-focused, just because that's kind of where I play the most of my things on. Not really sure why that became the case over time. I think it's just I started to get into more and more things, and when I did, I had basically all these things on the PlayStation systems, and that's kind of where I was doing all the trophy hunting and things like that. So I wanted to basically get all of my games that I own under like one family of consoles, if that makes sense, to kind of have a, I guess, a collection or catalog of like all the different things, especially that you can see online in terms of like the trophies and whatnot. So that's kind of why I probably lean a little bit more towards the PlayStation side of things. I still do love Xbox. I started off on Xbox way more than I played the PlayStation stuff. But when I got excited for the PS4, that's just when things got switched over. So that's just kind of how the things are right now. Now, in terms of kind of like the games that will be coming out soon, I'm pulling from a list that kind of has a bunch of PS4 games coming out soon-ish. Tomorrow, I believe, we have Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered coming out. That is a game that I want to say I either played number 1 or number 2 on the GameCube. So, long time ago. Didn't see them ever kind of coming out with a remastered of Hot Pursuit. But I'd definitely be interested in trying that out eventually. We also have Assassin's Creed Valhalla coming out on November 10th. That is 5 days from now. Same day that the Series X and Series S actually launch. I, once again, since I haven't finished Origin or what's called Odyssey. I will not be getting Valhalla right away because I know it's another huge game. I want to play through those other entries first before I kind of jump into this one. So I'm trying to be realistic here in terms of the games that I'm playing and kind of where I'm putting my time and everything. So I'm going to hold off for there, but that is a cool entry that I wanted to throw out. We also have a game called Sakuna of Rice and Ruin, which is a really cool indie game, a kind of 2.5 action game with some elements of like farm management and things on the side as well. But I got to play this at PAX a couple years ago, I believe. The game, very fun in terms of the kind of like combat aspect. Your character is kind of this little Asian girl who has a, I would say like a kind of like a magical sash as part of her kind of repertoire of move sets that she can do. It's very, very obviously kind of like 2D action based and stuff. When it becomes that kind of 2.5D is kind of when the sash comes into play. She can kind of throw it at enemies and basically kind of swing around them all of a sudden and then start attacking them from behind. Very cool in terms of kind of like the overall gameplay and stuff. And then there's kind of somewhat some platforming elements as well that the sash comes into play with. And I'm looking forward to this game. I don't know if I'll be able to get it right away. I believe it is $39.99 when it's releasing. So it might be a little bit of time before I can play into that, just because I've already got Demon's Souls, Miles Morales, and Bugsnax to go through and things that are being paid for there. So got to save money where we can. Along with that, though, there are a few other big games coming out within this next week. We have a game called 13, which is a remaster of the game that I think that was a playable on GameCube as well as probably some other systems. That one I think comes from the same creators as Killer 7, I want to say. So I never got to play this game. I've kind of only heard of it, and it sounds like it's one of those kind of cult following kind of games, but I'd be interested to try it out eventually. We also have Yakuza Like a Dragon coming out on November 10th, same day as 13 as well as what's called Sakuna of Rice and Ruin and Assassin's Creed. These are basically all coming out on the exact same day, guys. This is going to be a crazy November 10th, basically, for video game releases. We have Bugsnax coming out, as we know, at the launch of the PS5. That one is on November 12th. Along with that same day, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Sackboy A Big Adventure, also The Pathless. I think I realized a little late that The Pathless is also going to be a pretty large game based on, I'm kind of basing it off of pricing. I believe it's also $40. So quite a few things kind of going on here. There's going to be a lot to play for people that are getting the new consoles, whether you're kind of just playing your PS4 games or kind of previous gen Xbox games, or you're playing some of the new stuff that's coming out. Very excited, though, that we're kind of getting this much of a meaty launch for next-gen consoles. And hopefully, like I said, everything goes smoothly in terms of the delivery of all these packages and whatnot. If not, you will probably be hearing from me next week in a little bit of a later episode on Thursday, I'd assume, just to see if we do get the console in and to get some play time in so you guys get some first impressions there. Also probably going to have to check out the Create part of that new console stuff, because I do want to play around with that and see if it is a little bit easier to use than the PS4 stuff at the moment. But very exciting things to come. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As always, feel free to comment via email, Twitter, or even just random PSN messages. Email is brosandconsoles@gmail.com, all smushed together. You can also find me on Twitter at IndieRonan, smushed together there as well. If you guys want to check out the YouTube stuff, that is IndieRonan with the space in between. And yeah, PSN as well, IndieRonan. Trying to get it all easy and compact for everybody, you know? I don't want things to change around too much or it gets real confusing real fast. As always, though, thank you guys for listening. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy in these difficult times, and look forward to talking with you guys again next week. Next episode should be coming out on Tuesday again. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and take care of yourselves. Peace out.